Good day, and thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Shelf Drilling Q1 2022 earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star and zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, David Mullen. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone to Shelf Drilling Quarter One 2022 earnings call. Joining me on the call today is Greg O'Brien, the Shelf Drilling CFO. Earlier this morning, we published the Shelf Drilling Limited financial statements for quarter one 2022, as well as our latest fleet status report on the investor relations page of our company website. In addition to our press release and the financial statements, we also published a short presentation with highlights from the quarter. A recording of this call will be made available on our website within the next few days. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that our call will contain forward-looking statements. Except for statements of historical facts, all statements that address our outlook for the rest of 2022 and beyond, activities, events, or developments that we expect, estimate, project, believe, or anticipate may or will occur in the future are forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements involve substantial risks and uncertainties that could significantly affect expected results. Actual future results could differ materially from those described in such statements. Also note that we may use non-GAAP financial measures in the call today. If we do, you'll find supplemental disclosures for these measures and an associated reconciliation in our financial reports. I will provide an overview of the company's performance for Q1 2022 before sharing my latest views on the jack-up market. I will then hand over to Greg to walk you through the financials before we open up the floor for Q&A. As always, I would like to start my commentary on our earnings call with our safety performance. The year-to-date total recordable incident rate was 0.26 as of the 31st of March 2022, as a result of three low-severity injuries in the first two months of the year. In order to refocus the organization on working incident-free, we have rolled out our Make It Safer Today, or MIST program, to our entire fleet of rigs, encouraging each and every crew member to speak out against and report any potentially unsafe practices they may come across. I'm pleased to report that following the introduction of this new program, March and April have been recordable incident-free. We have achieved a fleet-wide operational uptime of 99.5% for the first quarter of 2022. This level of high performance was achieved while three of our rigs commenced new contracts following an out-of-service period for extensive preparation work during the prior quarter. We aim to maintain the same level of efficiency in our operations while improving our safety performance through constant communication and engagement with our crews. During quarter one 2022, we completed the mobilization of Shelf Drilling Tenacious, Shelf Drilling Mentor from UAE for the respective new contracts with Chevron in Angola and Mercurio in Congo. These two contracts mark the first time we had entered into these countries. Both rigs had seamless startup and operations, with operations close to 100% uptime since commencement. In addition, the Parameswara has started its contract with ONGC in India. Subsequently in April, Shelf Drilling Chepraya, Shelf Drilling Enterprise, and Shelf Drilling Scepter have concluded their contracts in Thailand and are undergoing shipyard projects to prepare for their upcoming contracts in Southeast Asia. While a number of Southeast Asian countries have become the latest batch to open for quarantine-free travel, we are very cognizant that COVID-19 and its effects are far from over. Protocols remain in place in accordance to customer and local government guidelines to ensure our rigs operate without interruption, and that affected persons are provided with the necessary aid and medical attention. China's commitment to dynamic zero strategy has led to lockdowns in key manufacturing and shipping hubs, adding further bottleneck constraints to an already stressed supply chain. We are experiencing inflationary pressures throughout our supply chain, and we are seeing an increasing timeline for critical components. We are expecting to experience an increase in both the timeline to receive equipment and the timeline to complete our out-of-service projects. Our financial results in the first quarter saw significant improvement on a sequential basis. Total revenue for quarter one totaled $156 million, approximately 15% improvement over $136 million in quarter four 2021. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter one was $58 million, representing a sequential increase of $15 million and an adjusted EBITDA margin of 37%. Higher revenue and adjusted EBITDA was primarily the result of three rigs commencing new contracts in Angola, Congo, and India. Greg will provide more details on our Q1 2022 financials. Oil prices prior to the outbreak of war was on a steady positive trajectory, with the Brent benchmark rising from $70 in mid-November 2021 to $90 by early February 2022. The increase in oil price was primarily demand-driven as the economies across the globe recovered faster than anticipated. Oil demand had recovered to the pre-pandemic levels. The outlook was positive as demand was set to continue to increase as countries across Asia were following Europe and America in easing travel restrictions. Oil supply remained constrained. U.S. onshore producers maintained capital discipline. Non-OPEC International and OPEC had limited spare capacity to satisfy the demand recovery. All paths were leading to a healthy demand and a tight supply, creating a very constructive backdrop for jack-up demand. Following the outbreak of war in Ukraine, the fundamental drivers changed, and security of energy supply became the key theme. The Brent benchmark immediately reached $120, and gas prices in Europe hit an all-time high following the outbreak of war. Since then, oil and gas prices remained elevated, with Brent index above $100, with high volatility, as supply concerns overtook demand growth. The threat of sanctions on Russian oil and gas and concerns around demand destructions, global economic recession, inflation, and the release of strategic reserves being some of the key drivers behind the recent volatility. The high energy prices combined with energy security concerns have further improved the backdrop for jack-up demand. Marketing and tendering activity within the jack-up sector is high across all the shallow water geography regions. But what is happening in the Middle East is unprecedented. Both Saudi Arabia and the UAE have aggressive plans to boost their productive capacity. To meet these aggressive plans, productive capacity targets, both Saudi Aramco and ADNOC have plans to significantly increase their offshore rig fleet. Saudi Aramco, following the tender exercise launched in late 2021, is expected to result in an award of an incremental 30 rigs. Additionally, Saudi Aramco just recently launched a lump sum turnkey tender in the Safinia shallow water field and a tender for multiple premium jackups under traditional day rate remuneration. The combined requirement is estimated to be a further 10 incremental jackups. ADNOC Drilling have acquired five incremental rigs since the beginning of the year, in addition to the three rigs acquired in 2021. All told, we're looking at an incremental demand of approximately 45 to 50 units in 2022 and 2023 from the Gulf region alone. This will result in an extremely tight supply-demand balance. We are seeing positive momentum on day rates in all operating regions, and expect that this will continue into 2022 and beyond. The Highland 5 secured a three-year contract extension with Saudi Aramco in the Arabian Gulf. The Shelf Drilling Mentor has secured a 225-day firm contract plus unpriced options with an undisclosed operator in Nigeria, in direct continuation with its current contract with Mercurial in Congo. Two of our rigs in Nigeria, the Adriatic 1 and Shelf Drilling Resourceful, have also received well extensions from Conoil, and we see continued demand for both rigs in the region. Rig 141 received a six-month firm award plus options from Petrogulf in Egypt in direct continuation of its current contract. Following the end of quarter one, the Key Singapore has secured an additional two firm wells plus options with Cairn India in direct continuation with the current contract. In addition, the Shelf Drilling Scepter was awarded a short-term contract by Cu Long in Vietnam. We see a very healthy pipeline of contract opportunities, and we expect to see full utilization by year-end, and expect that all of our rigs that are rolling off contract will map onto higher day rates as the day rate momentum builds. As of March 31st, our contracted backlog is $1.7 billion, with 28 of our 30 rigs under contract, representing a 93% market utilization across our fleet. In March, we published our latest sustainability report, which included for the first time our public commitments to reducing our Scope 1 emissions by 20% over the next 5 years, and by 4% by Q4 2022 over the 2021 per rig per day average. We have taken a series of actions to engage our workforce in supporting our efforts to drive these emissions lower, as well as reducing the overall environmental impact of our operations. The lingering effects of COVID-19, combined with the impact of war on supply chain and operations, continue to challenge the tenacity and responsiveness of our business and our industry. The step change in the number of contracted rigs in the Middle East region will add further stress to an already challenged supply chain and available human capital resource. At Shelf Drilling, our commitment to recruiting, training, developing our national workforce in all the countries in which we operate and building a local and sustainable workforce will help us navigate these challenges. Additionally, we are focused on building partnerships and long-term relationships with our supply chain and whenever possible, help develop localization. We are committed to delivering safe and persistent value to our stakeholders while striving to successfully navigate the new dynamics seen in our industry. I will now hand it over to Greg, who will walk through the financials.
Thanks, David. Revenue for Q1 2022 was $156 million, including $141 million of day rate revenue, $9 million of mobilization and bonus revenue, and $6 million of recharges and other revenue. Revenue for Q1 increased by $20 million or 15% relative to Q4 2021, primarily due to higher effective utilization and an increase in mobilization revenue. In Angola and Congo, revenue increased by $18 million due to the successful startup of new contracts in January for the Shelf Drilling Tenacious and Shelf Drilling Mentor. In India, revenue increased by $6 million sequentially, mainly due to the commencement of a new three-year contract in January for the Parameswara. This was partially offset by the full quarter impact of lower revenue in Thailand due to a reduction in day rate for the Shelf Drilling Chepraya after the completion of its maiden five-year contract in November 2021. Effective utilization improved to 85% in Q1 from 74% in Q4, and average day rate was $62,000 per day in Q1, down from $63,000 in Q4. Operating and maintenance expenses of $85 million in Q1 increased by $2 million relative to Q4 2021. The sequential increase was primarily due to the new contract commencement of the Shelf Drilling Tenacious in Angola and higher expenses for the Key Singapore ahead of its new contract in India, which is expected to commence in June. This was partially offset by lower maintenance and shipyard expenses in India, primarily for the Trident 12 and Parameswara. As mentioned on our last call in late February, we're seeing inflation have a greater effect on the business, with impacts across different operating locations and cost categories. And we believe this will continue as offshore activity ramps up in the months ahead, particularly in the Middle East. Therefore, we expect further sequential increases in rig operating expenses as we progress through 2022. G&A expenses were $12.5 million in Q1, up from $10.2 million in Q4, due to a lower level of compensation-related expenses recorded in the prior quarter. Adjusted EBITDA was $58.2 million in Q4, representing a margin of 37%, up significantly from $43.5 million and a margin of 32% in the previous quarter. Income tax expense of $6.7 million in Q1 represented 4.3% of revenues for the quarter, a slightly higher percentage compared to recent years, given the larger contribution of revenue from rigs operating in West Africa. Net interest expense of $27 million for the quarter was in line with Q4 2021. Non-cash depreciation and amortization expenses totaled $30 million in Q1, up from $28 million in Q4, and the net loss for Q1 was $5 million. Capital expenditures and deferred costs decreased to $23 million in Q1 from $34 million in Q4. This $11 million decrease was primarily due to lower contract preparation expenditures for the Compact Driller and Parameswara in India, the Shelf Drilling Tenacious in Angola, and Shelf Drilling Mentor in Congo, which all started new contracts in late 2021 and early 2022, as well as lower spending on fleet spares. This was partially offset by the initial contract preparation work in Q1 for the Key Singapore, which mobilized to India for its new contract expected to start in June. Our cash balance as of March 31st was $214 million, or $18 million lower than the balance at the end of 2021. The decrease was primarily driven by the semi-annual cash interest payment in Q1 on our senior unsecured notes due in 2025, partially offset by the sequential increase in EBITDA and the lower level of capital expenditures and deferred costs in Q1. Total debt was unchanged from year-end at $1.2 billion, and net debt was $980 million at the end of Q1. We delivered a significant sequential improvement in revenue and EBITDA in Q1 following the startup of several new contracts in West Africa and India. Our liquidity remains strong with $214 million in cash at the end of March, and we anticipate growth in our backlog during Q2. We are starting to see upward momentum with day rates on new contracts and expect to realize the benefit of this improvement later in 2022 and into 2023. The current strength in commodity prices and the demand outlook for our services, combined with our continued focus on margins and cash flow, will position us well moving forward. With that, we'd like to open the call for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, for those who want to ask a question, just press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, star and one if you wish to ask a question. And we do have questions that came through, sir. We will now take the first question. And this comes from the line of Michael Boehm. The line is now open. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, a couple of questions from me. Do you expect the cost inflation that you mentioned to accelerate as we move through the year? And do you expect overall that the newly contracted day rates will offset this cost inflation or not?
Yes, I do expect that the newly day rates will more than offset the cost inflation. I mean, it's hard to judge how much cost inflation we're expecting. We haven't really seen too much of it to date, but we definitely see evidence of a tightening supply chain. And we know simple maths, you know, there's an influx of 45 to potentially 50 rigs that's going to put a significant drain on human capital. and that's going to put pressure on wages. So I do expect we'll see pretty significant inflation. It's probably going to be in double digits, low double digits, year over year. But I do expect this will be more than offset with the increase in day rates.
Yeah, just some context on that. We talked about this a bit in our last call. If you just compared the run rate level of operating and maintenance expenses from the second half of 2021, we averaged $84 million a quarter. And we mentioned we thought we'd see kind of mid-single-digit percentage increase relative to that baseline. It's a higher percentage if you compare year over year because the second half of last year was higher than the first half of last year. But that's kind of where we're seeing trends a couple of months ago. That change is probably, you know, closer to high single digits or 10%. To David's point, I think year over year, something north of 10% type increase in operating maintenance expenses is what we're expecting. Part of that's activity driven. We're going to have a higher level of utilization across the fleet this year, but also some inflationary trends that are picking up relative to what we expected, you know, 3-6 months ago.
Thank you. My second question is on day rates. Can you give us some indication on where contracts are happening at the moment? I noticed, for example, Seadrill just signed a contract for 3 jackups. I know there's a mobilization fee in there, but the total dollar amount was $404 million. I mean, are we contracting now in the sort of around the $100,000 a day type rate? I know you received some discounts for that.
Yeah, we don't typically, we're not disclosing day rates on new contracts, but directionally, you're pretty much on the mark. We're seeing day rates moving into triple digits. I would say not in all geographies, but in West Africa, in Southeast Asia, it's pushing there. And Saudi Arabia is a higher cost environment, so we're seeing it in Saudi Arabia as well.
Okay. And then my final question, your bond price, I guess, continues to lag as a result of, I guess, the state of treasury markets and risk aversion in the markets in general. I don't think that your bond price reflects where you are today. I'm sure that you probably don't. You do have some surplus cash. I know I always ask this question, but is there any consideration being given to launch a bond tender at the present time?
Look, we look at all the options. We look at what is the best use of cash, and we continue to look at that with our board. More than that, I cannot say at this time. But we look at all the options. We look at options to buy rigs. We look at the options to participate in different different things. It's not, yeah, there's nothing specific. It's just what is the best return for us as a company and for all the stakeholders.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much for your time. Well done on a good quarter, and speak to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Patrick Fitzgerald. The line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the questions. Is there any reason to think that there will be a step down in utilization from the first quarter levels?
We're
expecting, you know, I mentioned it in the commentary that we have 3 rigs in Thailand that are coming out of service. 2 of those rigs have the 5 yearly recertification of all the well control equipment and the drilling package, and the other one has a short contract preparation for a continuous contract. So you will see a step down in Thailand on utilization. In terms of marketing, I imagine that as we approach the end of the year, we'll get to full contracting of our fleet of 30 rigs. Yeah. And we always have rigs that are rolling off contract, so as what I mentioned is that we believe that as rigs come off contract, they will step into a higher day rate.
Yes, that's all pretty short term. I mean, it's three rigs that all operated for all of Q1. Each of those rigs represents about 3% of the fleet, and they'll, you know, all be out of service for most of Q2. And then we expect all three to be back in operation essentially in July. So yeah, I think that would drive a dip in Q2, but it's not a permanent change. It's more temporary with the concentration of shipyards in one location all at the same time.
So in 3Q and 4Q, you'd expect it to be even higher than first quarter and then 3Q about the same or 85% or?
We don't give guidance quarter on quarter, but I wouldn't argue with you.
Okay. Okay, and then, you know, given the dip, you know, you're expecting in second quarter, but then, you know, the what I kind of said about the third and fourth quarter, I mean, you've said in the past that it's about a $200 million, you know, is where you need to be in terms of adjusted EBITDA to be the free cash flow positive. Are you feeling more confident about being free cash flow positive this year?
Yeah, I mean, we'll, you know, it's probably a little bit more than 200 because our we are seeing inflation on our CapEx spend. Our out-of-service projects are a little bit more than what they were in the past, and the out-of-service time is a little bit longer. But, you know, our I wouldn't argue with what you said.
Yeah. I think we specifically said 205 to 210 is the kind of break even range in a normal year on our last call. You know, our CapEx and deferred in Q1 was just over 90 annualized, which is a bit higher than the typical annual number we've talked to for the last 6 to 12 months. But I think that's just consistent with kind of inflationary trends we're seeing. So I think that number's probably moved a bit higher on an annualized basis. But yeah, I mean, look, the Q1 run rate is above that level, and we do expect to see, you know, solid performance in the second half of 22 once we get through this period with some shipyard projects. We also have two projects in Saudi in the middle of the year, the Highland 5 and the Achiever. Those are a little bit shorter, but, you know, two of those seven rigs in Saudi will be out of service for a couple of months each in the middle of the year. So most of that's concentrated essentially between April and July or August. But other than that, yeah, I think we're feeling pretty good about where we have open capacity. The two idle rigs are in active contract opportunities or bids. We're hoping we could have both of those rigs contracted, you know, by the end of the year, if not before then. So hopefully that's some helpful context.
Yeah, super helpful. Thanks. And then, you know, you said you're considering all your options. You know, given your – you know, you do have a big cash balance, but obviously, you know, that's pretty, you want to protect that. I mean, is there, you guys do a great job of operating this company. So, I mean, is there a possibility that you could be in the market for, you know, additional rigs?
Yeah, we are in the market for additional rigs, and we've been looking at various opportunities, but I think, as you'll see from the past, we've been disciplined, and we've maintained that discipline. We're not going to overpay. If we find the right opportunity at the right price, we're very happy to consume some of that cash, and that's what we're waiting for. Asset prices have moved a little bit higher, but there are certain circumstances where you can get yourself in a position, and it can make a lot of sense. So we think having the dry powder available does make a lot of sense.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And we'll now take the next question. And this comes from the line of Julian Mashikhau. Your line is now open. Please go ahead. Julian, your line is now open. You will go ahead and ask your question. seems like there's no response. We will now move to the next question. It's coming from the line of Alvin Chu. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Congratulations on a very good first quarter results. I just have two questions. First question is on the day rate for the first quarter, right? There is a very small decrease sequentially. Could management explain like why you're seeing slightly lower day rates in the first quarter? And then second question relates to the CAPEX. Are you still expecting like a quarterly CAPEX of like 20-odd million per quarter, which means it's about 100 million for the full year this year? Yeah, thank you.
Sure, Alan. Yeah, the first question, and we alluded to this in the comments. I mean, we had two contracts that you could say were above market legacy contracts in Thailand. The first expired in late Q4 of 2021. The rig continued working, but at a more normalized rate in line with current market conditions. That's really the driver. I think the other contracts that started, all else equal, would have lifted our average day rate slightly higher, but those two offset one another. So it was a pretty modest impact, you know, quarter over quarter, but it was mostly driven by the fact that, you know, an old contract rolled to market rates in November and therefore had a full quarter impact at that rate in Q1. And then the second question on CapEx and deferred, again, this is partially the question that Patrick asked a few minutes ago. I mean, we've typically talked about $80 to $85 million is the right annual level of CapEx and deferred cost to think about for the business. We were 23 in Q1, which, you know, if you just held that flat for the full year, it'd be 92. You know, we are seeing a bit of inflation on equipment, third-party services, but I think all else equal, that would likely lift that 80-85 number slightly higher this year. So I think 100 feels a little high, but our, you know, the 80-85 kind of quality, you know, the directional range we've talked about in the past feels a little bit lower given some of the trends we're seeing in the business. So I think the Q1 level is probably a reasonable level to think about for the full year. Q2 will be a bit higher because we have more shipyard projects happening in Q2, less in the second half of the year. So you do see some swings quarter to quarter, but that's probably the right kind of run rate from Q1 for the rest of the year.
Right. Thank you very much. Congratulations again.
Thank you. And no further questions that came through at this time, sir. You may continue.
Okay. Thank you, operator. And thank you, everybody, for joining the call. We look forward to connecting again for the Q2 results. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That concludes our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.